Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, to add on to the news about the end of the world, you know, Dubai flooded yesterday or the day before with 1 year's worth of rain in 2 days. And there are a sand foundation. The houses cannot take the water that came through. They're saying it's the systems they're playing with the rain clouds, but we know the Bible talks about there's going to be perplexities, nations, waves, seas, water, the earth breaking up because as the time is getting close to the end, right? So we're watching all that, and it's going to be like the Bible says, as a woman travails in birth pains. And as you see her getting ready to have the baby, and they get quicker and quicker, you're watching it now. You're watching the border. You're watching Iraq, Iran. You're watching Dubai. You're watching the election. You're watching Trump and all the baloney going on. So as you're watching, it's like 6 or 7 or 20 things going on at one time that's like world news at the same exact time. So you know the birth pains are getting closer to the baby coming. So that's, and I believe that's, it says when you see this, you know the end is near. So I tell young people it's time to get serious about Jesus and get out of the world. And we're going to talk a little bit about that because that'll kind of transition into my sermon. As I want to talk about transitions part two, and this is going to be called A Time to Move On. And we're going to look at 1 Samuel 16. We're going to look at Saul's and Samuel's relationship and this transition of Saul basically losing the throne and David becoming the king. And what ends up happening is a little bit of a backstory on Saul is that Israel wanted a king. And Israel said, we want to be like everybody else. We want to be like the world around us. Now, that's a problem. When you have God's people, the church, wanting to be like the world, we want to have the same stuff. We want to do the same stuff they're doing. I don't know if you saw recently about the Moldovan sword swallower guy and Mark Driscoll fiasco. They brought a stripper into this men's meeting. I don't know, and it's blown up all over the internet. But it's gotten to the point where I'm all for like having fun and the monster trucks and the things coming to the church. But they took it too far to where I don't know how this person got through the Assemblies of God AG church. And got on stage, and he basically climbed a pole, and then Mark Driscoll got up and confronted everybody, and it blew up all over the internet. And then Jonathan Shuttlesworth did the funniest commentary on the Moldovan sword swallower. So now he's got it on his bio that he's, you know, Jonathan's making fun of the whole situation for the AG church, which the problem is that Saul was more concerned about the people, pleasing the people. And so anytime you have the sways and the opinions of people, it pulls you in every direction. And so I heard a story one time, a guy was talking about a dream he had about a leader in a church. And he said the leader was driving the bus, taking this pastor to the airport. But everybody on the bus was jumping up, saying, giving him new directions. And so he was driving all over the place. And so, but the destination for the driver was the airport. And so he says the church has a destination. But when a leader, a man of God, is persuaded by opinion, he'll move in any direction and he'll never make it to the destination. And so Saul was more concerned about popularity, about his throne, about his image, about his title. And so God ends up rejecting Saul. And we're going to watch this, that Samuel was the one who anointed Saul in 1 Samuel verse 9. Saul was good looking, he was handsome, he's a leader, he was a man of war. And so, but we see something happening is that as the days ahead, like what he's talking, we're going to see a greater separation of righteousness versus unrighteousness, light versus darkness, the people of God that are pursuing the godly things versus the people of the world. And there's going to be no more room for compromise anymore in the body of Christ. God gave Saul time to make changes. I mean, he did. He gave him plenty of time. And Saul just kept making excuses on why he could not change. And he compromised and he compromised. And he like I said, he was way more concerned about the opinions of the people of Israel. And so as a man of God, you have to care more about the opinions of God and where God wants to go to get you to your destination. And I believe that's with every person, is that the world, we're in the world, we're not of the world, and light has to be separate from darkness. And I minister to a lot of young people, and I'm reading them these scriptures, and they've never heard them. They actually like listening to them. I mean, I sat in my truck in front of the gym parking lot, and me and one guy went through three chapters of the Bible today, just before the gym. And these young people, they want to know, and it wasn't like appalling. They were like, "Oh, I've never even heard this before." And so I'm telling them, if you're going to be a Christian, you're going to have to depart from the world. And so what we're seeing now, so God gives them a king. Eventually, God may give you what you ask for if you keep pursuing it over and over. This is what I want, God. This is what we want. God says, no, I want to be your king. But God, we want to be like the world. God, we want this. Okay, here you go. You may want what you ask for, or you may get what you want, and then you may not want what you got after you got it. So this is what, and so everything that starts with great expectations and hopes and things of a new beginning doesn't always end that way. And people make choices and decisions, right? And so, but I want to go, let's go to 1 Samuel 16. And so as you see that, what's interesting about Saul is that God rejects Saul, but Saul still holds on to the throne for 13 more years. He still holds on to the title. He still holds on to Israel. He doesn't want to let it go. And so sometimes you can't get so, keen to the externals of people. Because people may be in positions in ministry, in churches, and it may be something that they're holding on to that should have ended a long time ago, a transition in their life where the Lord told them to move on or to do something. And so just because they have a title does not mean a whole lot. Obedience and faithfulness is what God is looking for. And Saul still has a title 13 years later. He's still the king. And so people get on the externals of people. Well, really, it's the internals, what God is looking at. God had rejected him 13 years before. So don't always, just because somebody has a title doesn't always mean it's God. It may be something that should have ended a long time ago, but it's, God's very patient with people. And obviously, God had to get with Samuel. And so it's better to have obedience and faithfulness than have title and earthly power. That's more important to God than having a big name. I believe in church growth and having, but a lot of the times we're seeing is in the church now is a lot of compromise. And so it's better to obey God. It's better to obedience than to have, because what was interesting about what the guy said, I don't remember, it's this church up in Minnesota or something. He said, we got 500 people saved. And it's like, but what he did is he defiled the house of God by bringing this person in who's a stripper to do a sword swallowing thing. And he defiled the house, and it's like, well, we got 500 people saved. It's like, you can bring in all kinds of stuff, and I'm sure guys will show up, You can bring in strippers and OnlyFans, and guys might show, hey, we got 1,000 people saved, but you're not doing what the Lord asked you to do. And so there's a lot of compromise going on. And so God ends up rejecting Saul, and we're going to see this in 1 Samuel 16. We're going to talk about transitions and moving forward. Now the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing that I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Let's look at this. So Samuel is in a place of grieving, it looks like, and God has to come to him and ask him a question. Samuel, how long are you going to mourn over Saul? How long are you going to keep looking at the past of wondering what happened, what went wrong? God told me to anoint him. God said he's going to be the king of Israel. And I went and I took my anointing oil and I poured it over Saul. And I had this relationship with Saul. And it was what the Lord had said. You're going to have a king. Didn't he not say that? And he says, but what happened? The whole thing fell apart. And you can see that. I think Samuel starts to blame himself. Like he's, what happened here? Oh my goodness, this was supposed to be the next best. I mean, God spoke a word to me. I mean, he prophesied to me. He gave me a word in season, and it fell apart. And a lot of times we have these expectations, and God may give us a word and may say things, and this is what's going to happen. But sometimes life and things happen, and people make choices, and sometimes we're the downfall of people's choices. even though maybe God had said it, as you see in this right here. And so God comes to him and say, how long are you going to mourn for him? So he's stuck on the past. He's stuck on what was. He keeps looking backward, and God has to stop him. God says to Samuel, I want to lead you forward. I want to lead Israel forward, but how long are you going to keep mourning? Now, there's nothing wrong with mourning. There's a time to mourn, Ecclesiastes say. There's a time that you have to, that there's the Ecclesiastes, you can do that. That's fine. But at some point, God's going to say, the mourning's done. You mourned. Let's move forward. And it's not always easy after the loss of a friendship, a relationship, or a loss of physically losing somebody to pick up and just move forward. But God comes to Samuel and says, Samuel, we have to move forward. We have to go. This has to keep going. You can't stay here forever and cry about Saul, because Samuel's invested in Saul. Samuel was the go-between between him and Saul. Samuel was built a relationship with Saul. I mean, God would speak to Samuel, and Samuel would go speak to Saul. I mean, that was a friendship. That was a connection. But now that connection is dead. It's done. God rejected him, and he's saying, Samuel, this is, I'm talking to Saul now. I'll go between you two anymore. This is over. It's time we're moving forward. And a lot of times in transitions, moving forward can bring a loss. And sometimes transitions, they go really well. But sometimes just a loss and, hey, I once lived here and I'm moving here. I'm not hanging out with these people anymore. I'm not seeing them anymore. And I'm moving to something new. And there has to be a death. There has to be a loss of what was, so what can come can be. Because if you're tethered to the past all the time, holding on, God cannot move you forward. There are times you will have to let things go, even though it's a great loss. Saul and Samuel's relationship was a great loss. And I can see Samuel's side to this. But Samuel has to let Saul go. That friendship that maybe for a season God has people in your life that they were there and they were good. And maybe at some point he's saying, you know what? That person was good for you. That person was there. But it's time for you to move forward. Maybe you need to put some distance between you and some people that you know, to move forward in life. Saul could not go where Samuel was going. Saul did not have the capacity. He did not have the obedience. Saul was not growing in God. Saul was concerned with Saul. And sometimes in life, when you're moving and transitioning to the next phase of your life, there might be people in your life that you're going to put some distance between you and them, because they're not going where you're going. They don't have the capacity. God said, I can't. They can't come with you. You can't be tethered to these people and still move forward in God. And so God has to interrupt Samuel and say, Samuel, how long are you going to keep mourning over this? Go ahead and fill your horn with oil. Well, why was the horn empty? The horn was empty because he had poured everything out on Saul. The anointing flowed out on Saul. Samuel poured his life, the anointing, the oil of joy, the anointing of God on him, and now, therefore, it's empty. It's out. And so, Sam, think about this. There's times you pour into people. You love people. You put your all into people. You give it your all for the best that you know how. And simply, things just do not work out. And that's okay. And I think that in transitions, there's times where I've, even in ministry and people that I've loved and people in this church, you pour into them, and maybe you heard a word from God, and just sometimes that's just the way that life is. And God's saying, it's time to move forward. You may have poured out on this person, but it's not done yet, because the oil does fill back up. We'll get to that. So, things maybe didn't go as you expected, especially with people. You may have been hurt, betrayal, rejection, divorce, mistreatment, injustice, pain. God says, I see that. I'm not minimizing that. It's right to grieve, but now it's time to move on. Samuel, wash your face, get your funeral clothes off, and let's get moving. I have something for you to do. So God says this in Isaiah 43. He says, forget about what's happened. Don't keep going over old history. Be alert and be present. I'm about to do something brand new. One thing is you cannot see what God is doing when you're constantly going over old history. God is doing something right in front of you is what he's saying. He says, I'm making rivers in the desert. I'm taking the barren places that once were in your life. I'm going to put rivers that are going to flow, things that you hadn't even seen yet. No eye has seen, no ear has heard or enter in the heart of man, the things that I have prepared for those that I love. And God is saying, but if you keep going over old history, you're not going to be alert and be present and to see what I'm doing. Behold, I'm doing a brand new thing for you. But a lot of times we keep getting stuck in the past of what was. We keep thinking about maybe I could have done something different. Maybe Samuel said, it's my fault. It was not Samuel's fault. Paul says, forgetting the things from the past that are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Lord, back to Isaiah 43, he says, I know things have been barren, but I can take the desert places in your life and I can change it from nothing to streams of water for you. I'm making a way for you, but you need to move on. You need to quit going over old history, is what the Message translation says. Stop going over old history. Stop looking at the past. Stop thinking that the next 6 months, the next year is going to be just like the last 2 years. You can't think that way anymore. God's saying, I can take the deserts in your life, the things you hadn't even seen yet, that things that you say will never change in your life. I mean, if God can take a desert, like in Israel, he did it. We were there. I mean, it's like palm trees and dates. And I mean, it's just it's just sand. And it's watered and things are growing. I mean, if God can take something out of nothing and create something beautiful, he can do that in your life. The things that have been stagnant, the things you're thinking, oh, this is never going to change. It's always been this way. God's saying, no, I'm going to do something brand new, but you got to stop thinking about the way things have been for the last 10 years, the way things have been for 5 years. I'm about to do something brand new. You don't even see it because you keep thinking about the past. And so that's a word for me. This message hit me. I started listening to this, started reading this book. I mean, this guy's preaching this, and it's hitting me. Stop going over the past. Stop thinking that your life is going to keep going this way. God says, I'll do something brand new and able for you to perceive it. You got to quit thinking, and then you'll start seeing it. You'll start seeing what God's doing right in front of your eyes. Because he's saying, do you not perceive it? Do you not see what's happening right now before your very eyes? I'm making ways in the desert. God's like, are you seeing this? God, I can't believe, man, things could have been different. I don't know what happened between me and that person. Where did I go wrong? The next thing I want to say is that just because situations, relationships, and seasons might be over, especially with relationships and people, maybe jobs, but God's not. God has something new for you. And so the next thing is Samuel anointed Saul and it didn't work out and he's taking it personally. But God's telling Samuel, it's not your fault. It's not Samuel's fault. It was Saul. Now, if it is your fault, take the blame for it and say, man, I screwed up. But here, Samuel's crying over something that he didn't do. And a lot of times we take the blame for things in our life and we're constantly, you know, you walk around a corner. Oh, excuse me. Sorry. Someone bumps into you. I'm sorry. It's not. You're just standing still. And someone walks into you and you're like, I apologize to him. So, you know, I was in Publix the other day and this big guy walks into me and then I said sorry to him, you know. Scared the lady that was with me because she thought that we were about to throw down two big guys in Publix. But we're constantly apologizing and we can be I believe that in order to make changes in life, you got to take responsibility. But sometimes we take so much responsibility that we begin to blame ourselves. And Samuel's probably blaming himself for the fall of Saul and the downfall, the spiritual condition of what happened to Saul. But it wasn't Samuel's fault. And so imagine you're being a prophet and you're out there in front of Israel and you're anointing this guy and you're out in front of everybody and boom, God rejects him. And you're like, what did I do wrong? Did I miss it, God? Did I not pour enough oil on this guy's head? Did I not say the right things to him? Did I not maybe speak more to him to help him change? And that's the thing, is that you can get into that constantly. But what is God saying? Samuel, fill your horn. We're moving on. Let's go. Quit going over this. We're moving forward. And so the next thing is like with Saul, well, I already kind of said this, that God's going to have to change he's removing people out of your life to go to the next season in your life. And you have to be okay with that. You have to be okay with letting go of some people and some things. And I've noticed that in my own life, that there's times that I'm close with certain people and I make good friends and relationships. And then sometimes they change quickly. Sometimes I'm only with them a few weeks. Sometimes I'm only with them a few months, sometimes a few years, and then it changes. But what a lot of times is you're trying to take that season and build a lifetime out of it. And you're like, I thought they were my friend. They probably are, but there's a lot of guys I minister to the gym, and sometimes I only see them for 6 months, and then I never see them again. And sometimes they walk in church a few times, and then I never see them. And I mean, you know what? I work out with them every day for a few months, and then boom, they're gone. And then now I'm working out with a new guy. And I've kind of got to this point where when God starts changing things in my life, I'm good with it. Yes, the old stuff has, I let stuff go quick. I don't hold on to stuff. Man, I was friends with this guy in the gym for a few years, and then we just stopped hanging out. You know what? I'm moving on. Let's go. Who am I ministering to next, God? I'm not going to hold on to the past and try to go back and make relationships work that maybe God's saying, that was person I brought him here for you. There's people I've been friends with. They did help me at church, did great work. I mean, helped me do all kinds of stuff. And then we don't even talk anymore. And I'm okay with that. Because that person, God says, I brought them for a season, but they're not going where you're going next. And enjoy the season, but don't turn it into a lifetime of holding on to stuff, as we can see that. You can see this with Abraham and Lot. We talked about this last week, where Abraham takes his nephew Lot. He says, get out from your country to a place I'm going to show you. And he goes, he takes Lot with him. Well, shortly after, him and Lot get into a disagreement and they got a split. And so you see that this is not working out. And I don't even think God even told him to take Lot. That's just something he decided to do. And so let's go over, let's see, I'm in 16. How long will you mourn, seeing I've rejected him over Israel? Fill your horn with oil. Go, I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If my best friend Saul hears about this, he's going to kill me. But the Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do, and you will anoint for me the one that I name to you. So Samuel did what the Lord said, and he went to Bethlehem. Interesting how everybody in their transition period wants to know, like, the full year of what's happening in your life. God didn't even tell Samuel, this is what's going to get interesting in this story, God doesn't even tell Samuel who's anointing. He just said, go. And so people are like, well, God, what's my whole year look like? Be faithful with the day to day. What are we doing today? I heard a saying that says Christianity is taking the obedience of the things God asks you to do daily and continuing to do them every day for a long period of time. And I forget totally how this minister said it, but it's basically a long period of time of obedience, of the small faith, like we talked about last week, the small faithful things the Lord asked you to do. Read your Bible, pray. And Samuel has no idea. He's just following the very next step of God. He's not, Lord, what's my 4-year plan? I don't know. I mean, I think it's nice to plan that stuff, but a lot of times God just said, go fill your horn with oil and go see Jesse. That's it. This is your next step. God, I want to know what's the next 5 steps. I'm not telling you that. What is the next thing God told you to do? What is the thing he tells you to do every morning? God, I'm waiting for my next big thing. Okay, he says, wake up in the morning. Lord, what are we doing? Oh, let's read 1 John chapter 2 today. That's the key to where you're going to see where David became faithful in the field, and then God took him to the palace. What did he do really well? David played music and sang to God, and he was faithful with where he was. And God took him to another place, and we'll get to that. But what's interesting about this is that Samuel's obedience in the small areas, the small things. What is like I said last week, I was telling the Lord told me to buy some Chick-fil-A sandwiches for some of the guys that are working. And I did it. It's like the Lord says, go to Jesse's house. Take some olive oil with you. What's the small things God says, hey, do this today. Do that today. We're over here reading this now going, man, this is an amazing story. But your story is amazing because one day you're going to look back and the Lord told Pastor Lisa to go do such and such, and she did it. She was faithful. And she then the next day he told Pastor Lisa to go do this and talk to this person, and she was faithful. There's probably going to be books written about the small faithfulnesses that we do every single day. We read these things, and it's like, it's amazing now. But it's another day in somebody's life. True. Samuel, wake up, quit crying, quit mourning. Let's go forward. Get your olive oil in your flask. And the anointing, which is joy, which is the power of the Holy Spirit. And he says, we're going on a journey today. So if you end up praying for somebody and putting some oil on their head that day, you and Samuel can share stories one day. I mean, it's the faithfulness things that God asks us to do. And so last week I said, in order to get to God, I want to lift this 100-pound dumbbell. Okay, well, you're going to start with the 5. Because if God lays on you the 100-pounder, it's going to crush you. You're not ready for it yet. And Saul obviously was not ready. I mean, God made him king, but he failed. And so you don't want to be in that position where your character is not keeping you to where you need to be. Because, oh, I'm ready to be the king of Israel. You got pride. You're in love with yourself and being the king of Israel. And there was a lot of flaws that Saul had, and the Lord probably knew that. But the Lord probably during that time said, okay, you want something now? You're praying for this? I'm going to answer you. Here you go. And the Lord's got to wait till we can get to David. And so, because David was just a boy, remember? The next thing I want to talk about is there's more oil. Because even though Samuel poured out everything he had, and there's times, like I said, we're pouring out into people in our lives, and we feel drained, we feel empty, we feel exhausted, we feel tired. God, I'm doing all this. And the Lord says, what? There's more oil. There's more of where that came from. I can fill that flask up with more oil, the oil of joy from mourning, the oil of gladness, the anointing, the presence of Jesus. And so really praising God and worshiping him, bringing that presence in, is like that anointing. I mean, it's like you're stirring that thing up. When I talked about praise a few weeks ago, and the Lord talked to me in a dream, and he says, don't underestimate the power of praise, what it'll bring to you and what it can do for you. You're stirring up that anointing that's in your house, that's on you. And you got to stir up that anointing even on yourself. In the Old Testament, it's poured out. But in the New Testament, it's inside. And so you got to ask why he says, stir yourself up, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Pastor did a great job Sunday on the Holy Spirit, the helper. What a great... So sometimes when you feel lacking, praying in the Spirit, Cody's testimony, building yourself up. Thank God we're not in the Old Testament anymore. Thank God we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. And so when you feel tired and weary, you feel like you've... There's times I feel like I've given my all to people. I'm done with people. Man, I've sacrifice to help people, and I get burned and rejected and all these bad things that happen. And I'm telling you, get one touch from the Holy Spirit, my oil's right back to the top. And I could care less what happened 2 years ago with people. I'm ready for the next person. I'm going to love on them. You know what? They may burn me. They may walk out of this church. They may say things about me. You may get drained. And what do? You just go get filled back up. Why? Because he said, Samuel, I got more oil for you. Amen. Put it in your flask, and I got another job for you. Samuel's down. He feels sad. He feels responsible. He feels shame. But what does God say? We're moving forward and grab the oil because I got more. And so there's always more oil with God. And there's always more with him. It says in Romans chapter 5, it says, how much more? How much, I mean, read through Romans chapter 5, how much more the blood of Christ, how much more his loving kindness, how much more, when you focus on how much more, or the endlessness, or the loving kindness, and the goodness of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, it'll take that morning and turn it around real quick. it takes those transition periods in your life and it makes it a lot easier. We live in a fallen world. We understand that that's the things we go through. We're relationships with people. And so, so there's always more grace. There's always more mercy. There's always more of God. And so he said in verse 4, Samuel did what the Lord said, went to Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembling at his coming and said, "Do you come peaceably?" That's interesting that they said that. Samuel must have had a reputation. And he said, "Peaceably I've come to sacrifice to the Lord." Maybe after Saul, they said, "Good Lord, here he comes again." You're going to anoint another crazy whack job. So he says, "I've come peaceably to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to sacrifice. So it was when they came, he looked at Eliab and said, "Surely the Lord is anointed before him." But the Lord says, "Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, but the Lord looks at the outward appearance. The Lord looks at the heart." So let's go to 1 Samuel 9:1. We're just going to go back in time for a second. There was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abel, the son of Zahor, the son of somebody, and the son of somebody else, and the Benjamite mighty man of power. And he had a choice and a handsome son whose name was Saul. There was not a more handsome person than among the children of Israel. For his shoulders upward, he was taller than any of the people. But, so interesting that he's a good looking guy. He's a big guy. He's buff. The next thing I want to say is that you got to break bad patterns in your life. And you're wondering, where am I going to go with this? Samuel looks at Eliab and says, "This is it. He's the Lord's anointed. He's tall. He's good looking. He's handsome. It's what the Lord did with Saul." And it's a lot of times when the Lord says, "No, it's not. The oil did not flow for him." A lot of times we default to what we're used to, the patterns, the things that we do. And it's funny how Samuel is naturally gravitating back to his habits and his patterns of what he was looking for. And so and that messes things up, because you're always going back to the patterns and the habits that you have built into you. And so it's like, hey, I'm New Year's resolution, I'm going to start the gym, and it lasts for 3 weeks, and what do? You default back to your habits and your patterns. Maybe it's relationships. I'm not hanging out with these people anymore. Or I'm going to date or marry somebody different, and you default back to what you know, what you're used to, your default habits and patterns. And you have to break that stuff. And so that's what's happening here. Maybe it's a habit, it's a pattern, something that's not healthy, not the right type of person, a behavior. Maybe it's something you watch. Maybe it's something you listen to. Maybe it's something you're consuming. You keep going back to the pattern because that's your habit. But the Holy Spirit is going to help you break that pattern tonight. So Samuel shows up and he says, "This guy is it." He's defaulting back to this guy. This is what the Lord wants right here. I'm going to try to anoint this guy. Why? Just because the Lord did that with Saul a few chapters back doesn't mean that's who it's going to be next. So let's keep reading with what happens. Don't default back to your patterns. Let me say this. Without the help of the Holy Spirit, because I talk to a lot of people on breaking habits and patterns and obviously the name of Jesus. And maybe it's old habits and patterns of the way that you used to think. And God's saying, you can't move forward thinking this way. You can't move, Samuel, we're not moving forward with you thinking the way that you did back when Saul. That you're, God, I'm ready to move forward in I'm ready for my next step. And God says, no, you got a lot of habits and patterns that you got to break. What is keeping you from moving forward? Maybe it's the way that you think. Like I said, maybe it's relationships. Maybe it's stuff you're doing constantly. All the time. Maybe it's just things you don't even know that you're doing. Maybe it's reactions or overreactions that you're having of patterns that have to break before God says, I'm taking you to the next step. Because that's what ultimately was holding Samuel back. And that's what ultimately holds people's back, is they default back. And those things take time to change. Number one, you got to identify what they are. And like he says, the Lord actually talks to Samuel about this. He says, this pattern, we're not looking at appearances or physical stature here. I've refused him too. That's not as man sees. So the Lord helps Samuel get out of this default mode that he keeps running back to. And so I believe that I've even asked the Lord this. I think a pattern I had was just constantly thinking about the past over and over and over. That could be, or maybe just thinking, not thinking faith, thinking circumstances, thinking natural, thinking the same way with your money all the time. It's going to be the same way. Not getting out of that. Got to break out of that. Or I'm always going to have, I don't know, this type of relationship. So it's what I've known. Or my marriage will be like the past marriage because that's what I saw in my family or what I had before when I was divorced. And where God's saying, you got to break the pattern. You got to break the way that you're thinking about all this in order for me to take you. Cannot keep holding on to the past and keep and to move forward. And so as we keep going, he said, the Lord says, I look at the man's heart. So Jesse calls Anibad, made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Jesse made, Shama pass before him. He says, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen this one. And so, then the next one is he says, Jesse, are all the young men here? And he says, oh, yes. There actually remains one young one that we decided not to bring in. And so the next one is you're not out of options. David was like, I guess, an afterthought. Yeah. I mean, they didn't even care to invite him. He's a son, but they say, I've read a scripture that in Psalms 51, they said that David said, you conceived me, my mother conceived me out of sin. So I don't know, some people were reading it saying that he was maybe from an adulterer relationship or something, could have been. But his brothers had blacklisted him. There's a reason for that. Why is it the dad, they don't care about him. He's the unthought one. He's the one that he's undervalued. He's unseen. The family just get him out of here. Go put him out with the stinky sheep and the animals and the goats. We're going to have a meeting with the family. They didn't even think to invite David. Why is that? I've never really thought about that. Was he a black sheep of the family? Was he conceived from another woman that was maybe an affair? I mean, they say that Psalm 51 is that my mother conceived me from sin. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. And so what's interesting about this is Samuel's probably confused at this point because seven is the number of completion, and God is saying no to all of them, the good-looking one, all these people that fit the bill. And Samuel said, let me keep reading here. Samuel said to Jesse, are all the young men here? There remains yet one of the youngest. There he is keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him. We will not sit down until he comes here. What is Samuel saying? I'm not settling until I get God's choice in this matter. I'm not settling until it is God's very best. And so Samuel was probably confused for a second. I mean, the Lord didn't even tell him the whole story. He didn't say, hey, you're going to go anoint this guy named David. Sam was just blindly following God by faith, operating by faith. And he shows up and he says, I will not sit down. And though he thought he saw all the options, but also he thought he was out of options. But what? There's an option yet that he had not seen. And so what I believe God's saying tonight is there's options in your life God says you haven't seen yet. You think you've seen all the options in your life. You're thinking, hey, this is as good as it's going to get. I've seen what's before me. Maybe I've seen all my potential spouses. Maybe I've seen my potential jobs or where I can be or how much where I could go to work. But God's saying there's one option you haven't seen yet. There's one option that he's undervalued, that he's nobody cares about him, but he's something special. He's a king. So there may be stuff in your life and you're like, this is all I'm seeing before me. This is as good as it's ever going to get. This is my future. God's saying, you're not out of options yet. There's still, I got a hidden card in my sleeve that you hadn't even seen yet. And so Samuel's over here thinking, what in the world is going on? I'm here on an assignment. I'm here to anoint the king, and I'm out of options. 7 is the number of completion. But what is 8? 8's like that extra one, that one you weren't really planning for. But in Hebrew, 8 actually means new beginnings. And so when you feel like you're out of options, maybe it's called a new beginning for you. Maybe God is wanting to get rid of all the options that you think, that you see before you with their natural eyes. We're always looking, but what do you say? No eye has seen, no ear has heard what God has planned for those who love him. And so I believe that as we have faith for God to do things, to bring things into our life that we hadn't even seen yet, we're looking at the natural. And that's what Samuel's looking at. And God's keeps telling Samuel, stop doing that. Quit looking at the past. Quit looking at the natural. I got something that you hadn't even seen yet. And so David's in the field. He's singing praises to God. He's worshiping, feeding on his faithfulness. He's reading his word. But David's invisible. He's undervalued and he's unseen. He's overlooked. Family didn't even invite him. His father placed him out of the way. He's an outsider. He's an afterthought. He's out of sight and David's out of mind. But what happens? God sees David. If you think that your next transition in life isn't happening because God doesn't see you, he sees you. He knows that you're there. But you have to be faithful in the little things, faithful in the field before you're going to be faithful in the palace. And so you got to let stuff go. David's, what is he doing? I mean, he's doing the everyday monotonous servanthood work, tending sheep, having a good attitude. I mean, he's out there singing. What does Pastor always say? You know, when I worked construction, I was always showing up to the job site just singing, the joy of the Lord is my strength, great and mighty is he. You know, David is just feeding on God's word. He's doing what I said last week, the boring stuff really well. Amen. Reading the Psalms, he's singing the Psalms, and he's serving his dad. Reading the Psalms, singing the Psalms, and he's just serving. And he thinks maybe he's overlooked. He's undervalued. I don't think he saw himself that way. Why? He was singing. The rest of the family, they didn't see him very valuable person. They didn't even think about him. He's an afterthought. We're not invite David to the family gathering. I mean, imagine if your family just, like, imagine if we just didn't invite Jordan to Christmas. Jordan? Oh my God. We got another brother? I mean, we're not inviting him. Truck or Jordan? You can go truck. But imagine, like, how you would feel. Your own dad didn't even bring you in for dinner when the prophet showed up. Amen. It's like Mary Fran coming over and my dad was like, oh, Justin? Oh yeah, we forgot to call him. He probably would have wanted to been here for this. Mary Fran's over there like, I'm here to anoint your kids. Oh, we forgot one. I mean, imagine that. Well, that's funny, but that's real trauma in people's lives today. People feel like they've been abandoned by their family, by their own mother and their father. They don't care about them. And David's dad probably didn't give a rip about them. But God saw David as a king. So your earthly parents, your mom and dad, I'm not saying that they do. We have great relationships with some of our moms and dads. In this church and in your life, in the natural, you think that maybe your next big thing's coming from somebody that you know. But maybe someone's going to walk in your life that you don't know. So imagine David being out in the field and his brother comes and says, somebody wants to see you. And he probably is thinking, oh, okay, this is great. His life would change from that point forward. He'll never be the same person ever again. And he goes from tending the sheep to now the presence of the Lord is going to come upon him. So don't think that God's overlooked you. How faithful and obedient are you to the small things in your life? The things you think maybe they're insignificant. The praying, the reading the word, line upon line, like Pastor was reading Sunday. Here a little, there a little. You're getting up every day and you're reading the word, you're studying, and God's putting books in your lap, and you're talking to people and you're witnessing, and you're like, man, when is God going to use me for something amazing? Well, you're being faithful. You're being faithful with just the sheep. I'm just faithful with the sheep that I have, the people at the gym. I'm just faithful with that area, the guys that he leads me across. I'm just, and it's messy, you know, and it's sheep and it's animals and David's looking after. And he says, so they, Samuel waits, and they brought him in, and now he was ruddy, bright eyes. He was good looking, but he wasn't as tall as the other one. And the Lord said, arise and anoint him. This is the one. Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, right in the middle of the whole, I mean, poured the oil all over in front of everybody who had rejected him. He's undervalued. Nobody cares about him. They probably talked trash about him every single day. And so if you ever feel like that, that's okay. Let people talk. But one day God's going to take the anointing and pour it all over you in front of everybody else. And if you feel like God doesn't see you, you're not waiting on God. He's waiting on you. He's waiting on you to let go of the past. He's waiting on you to quit mourning over the old history in your life and to see something new, to grab your oil, to move forward, and to just believe God and have faith that something new is around the corner, that desert, the rivers are going to start popping out in your life and something brand new is about to begin. And you're looking in the natural and God's saying, that ain't it, that ain't it. And that ain't my best. Go get, there's one more out there that you hadn't even seen yet. There's something around the corner for you that you don't even know about yet, Miss Rosie. There's something for you you ain't even seen yet. And so this is God just doing the supernatural. And it's happening as they begin to walk in faith, as Samuel does. And thank God for that Samuel's obedient to that. And so Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, man, right in front of everybody. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. And Samuel arose and went to somewhere. Went to Ramah. The Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul.
Not Karen.
And so David's life changed from that point forward. The Spirit of the Lord is now upon him. Well, now, the Spirit of the Lord, Jesus said, was upon me. He's anointed me to preach. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. Yeah. I mean, and David's life is forever changed from that point forward. But many times in transitions, we're constantly stuck. And like I said, what is it maybe that God's saying, you're going to have to break this? You're going to have to let go of this. It's like going to the airport. Have you ever done this where you showed up to the airport with like a nice knife in your bag? And it's an expensive knife. I paid good money for it. And you get there and the guy says, if you want to go to this destination, you got two choices. You're going to leave the knife behind or you're not coming through the gate. And so many times it's like God's dealing with us in our lives saying, I want to take you to the next step in your life. But number one, there's a couple things that maybe that you need to make changes on. You got to stop thinking about the past. You gotta maybe take some people. So I'm sorry, but Saul's not coming with you. And then you gotta get up and get moving. And so that knife, I threw it in the garbage, but I had to give up the knife to move to the next destination in my life. And then you gotta break some patterns in your life. You gotta quit the same old that you do. Maybe you don't even know that you do it. And I've started praying this over myself. Lord, maybe it's things I'm doing constantly on a daily basis. You just get stuck doing the same thing. And God's saying, I'm waiting for you to make this change. And so, and then being faithful. Faithful that you may feel, I'm overlooked, I'm undervalued, nobody cares, God doesn't see me anymore, nothing's changing in my life. No, God knows exactly where you are. He could find you in a field full of pigs and sheep and goats and wild animals. And even if the prophet is a little confused on where you're at.
That's true.
God can still find you. He knows your address.
Amen. That's right.
And so in transitions, I want to encourage us that there is going to be a letting go of some things in transitions in order to move forward with God. Just because things didn't work out and relationships didn't work out, things didn't work out with people, God says, how long are you going to mourn? That's okay, you mourn, but let's go. Let's move forward. Let's dream again. Israel's about to have a new king. This is going to be number 8. This is going to be a new beginning. And then it's not going to be like anything that you think. I mean, I don't think David was what they thought. They were looking for Saul 2.0, Eliab, big, handsome king with big shoulders. And so even though, you know, I might not be as big as that, God will still use me. Amen. But we get so stuck in the natural. He's good looking. God did that with that guy. That's the criteria I have to have. No. What is God looking for? Faithfulness. He's looking for obedience. He's looking for the basics. I mean, the book of Psalms is all of David's songs that he just sang to God. Praising the Lord, praising and worship. And you're thinking, man, I'm ready for my next step. And God's saying, praise me. That's what David did. And then David, it was still delayed. God told him, you're going to be king. And then what? And then it wasn't just like he just got anointed and walked in straight, sat on the throne. I mean, then Saul hates David now. Saul's not letting go of the throne. Saul's a big baby. He don't want to give up the fame and the power and everything that he's holding on to. But one thing Saul doesn't have, he doesn't have the anointing. It does not anymore. Just because somebody has all that does not mean they have the anointing on their life. Don't envy that kind of stuff. You want the anointing. The anointing will put you places that fame and notoriety and people and relationships can't. And so you have the anointing. Jesus says that he has anointed me to preach the gospel. I mean, when you got born again, the anointing came upon you. You're going to stir that up. You're going to study that. And so even then, Saul loved David, then he hated David, and then he threw spears at David. And, you know, a lot of times I feel like we have relationships like that. Where, man, you're pouring into people. They love you, and then they hate you. And then they love you again, and then they hate you. And then they're mad at you. And David's just being what? Faithful. Just being faithful. And then he asked for God for forgiveness. I cut if God don't put me on the throne, I don't want it. I'm not going to try to force myself in this seat. I'm not going to kill this man. Because then he's just being like Saul. And it still took time for David to take that position. And transition periods can have time between them. The children of Israel, 40 years. Could have been 40 days, but these 40 years. And God comes to Joshua and says, Moses is dead, Joshua. Grab the people and let's go. I mean, Joshua's probably sitting there going, I mean, he's going to come back to life, right? You know, he came down the mountain. His face is all shining. He's all glowing and stuff. Like, maybe he's going to come back from the dead. And God said, Joshua, this is a reality. He's dead. Grab the people and let's go. We're going to the promised land. And so I believe that in order for you to make that next step in your life, there's going to be things you're going to change. And you're going to cut off. You're going to make adjustments in your life. Maybe things you did, you're not going to do them anymore. Maybe they're not bad. Maybe Pastor Mark said something to me one time. He said, it's not that some of the things you're doing are bad. He said, you're just going to spend more time in the Word. He said, not so much time with the guns and the trucks and the cars. He said, more time in the Word if you want to go. And I believe that I could have just said, oh, he prophesied to me, it's going to happen. No, I had to take that and get serious with it. And I have. And it is a lot more time in the Word. It's a lot more studying. But where do I want to go? A transition is a loss. You're moving from this area of your life to the next area. You're moving from one town to the next. That means there's going to be a death. There's friendships that are going to end. There's things that are going to end, places you're going to stop going because you're moving to somewhere brand new. And so a lot of times God's trying to move us to a new place in life. But maybe he's saying, I need you to get up. 6 o'clock, let's pray. God, I can do it. And then 6 o'clock comes around, and you're just like, God says, okay. All right, Lord, I'm going to get up early. I'm going to pray and read my Bible next morning. Okay, children of Israel, 40 years or 40 days. Which one do you want? You know, you can keep going around this until you, and it goes back to the obedience, the faithfulness. And so the little things that David was faithful in. And so there has to be, for transitions, there's always, you cannot keep everything. There's always something new starting, something old has to stop. There's changes in you. When you have a baby, there's just Nikki and Paul's life's going to change. There's things, their daily routines, their habits. Why? There's something new's coming in their life. And so are you ready for God to do new things in your life? I'm ready. I'm ready, God, to do new things. But I believe that when God is moving that, I have to be ready to make adjustments in my life. I got to be ready to maybe, I'm not hanging out with at certain places, things. Maybe your schedule just has to make some adjustments and change. What does your tomorrow look like? And is what you're doing today, you know, lining up with your tomorrow? I mean, I say this all the time. It's like, I want to do more stuff on Facebook and YouTube. But my today is not looking anything like what I want to do tomorrow. And there has to be changes in my schedule. There has to be adjustments. There has to be things I put down. And maybe some of those things do take time. You're making adjustments. And people, you know, relate. Some people you're like, oh, you see the same person every Friday night. Hang out with them. And, you know, at first it was great. And after a while, you go home and you're getting, that person is draining you now at this point for years later. Why? You probably grew with God. They did not move forward with God. And it started good, but it has to come to an end. And you're holding on to that. Oh, Lord, this was a great friendship you brought to me. Okay, well, maybe it's time to move forward because this person cannot go forward with you. And so you have to see those changes in our lives and be ready for when God does come to his. Maybe it's the Lord saying, I need you to pray in the Spirit more. I want you to get more in the Word and study certain subjects. I want you to get ready to preach. I want you to write sermons down. I want you to, whatever it is, I want you to, there may be God in the corporate, your job, things that are changing for you. And God's talking to your heart about that and letting go of some things and putting on some new things. And so I believe transitions are great. I think they're happy. Israel was happy when King David came. But Samuel had a hard time with it, the moving forward of Saul, because of that great friendship. The beginning, he's the first one. And so there's nothing wrong with that, with the, you know, and it's not that you're mean to people, but sometimes it's just like, hey, I won't be able to hang out with you as much. I got some other things I got to do. People have to understand that. And so, Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for the transitions in our life that are coming. I thank you that and that there's going to be a death to certain things, old things, but God, because there's new things coming. And that we're not going to keep going over the past and over old history, Father. We're not going to keep thinking it's going to be the same. We're not going to blame ourselves. We're not going to keep saying it's our fault. But like you said, we're going to move forward. And you have more oil. There's more. You're not done with us yet. It doesn't matter how young, how old. There's more oil. There's more anointing out there. There's something else for you to do. And God says, I got more of it. I'm ready. Are you ready? Are you ready to be faithful and obedient like Samuel? Are you ready to take a step of faith when God says, just go here next? I want the whole picture, God. I'm not giving you the whole picture. This is your next step. Do this faithfully. Show up to Jesse's house. Who is it? I'm not telling you who it is. Show up. And Lord, I thank you as we begin to make those changes and begin to take those small steps that the plan will unfold. Doesn't matter how undervalued we feel, insignificant, you know where we are. You know that we might be out in that field, but what you're saying is be faithful. I'm taking you to the palace. I'm taking you somewhere, but you got to be faithful. And Father, when that does happen, I pray that like 1 Corinthians 13, that we love people. Love our brothers, Father. I pray that he loved his brothers. I don't think he was mean towards them, Lord. But what you're saying is this, is that you can take the impossible situation, find an invisible person, and you can turn them into something great. And Lord, I thank you that every person here, as we make transitions in our lives, as we get over the past, we stop crying over what was, the spilt milk, Father, we just let it go. We let it go tonight. We let go the things, Father. In our past, we forgive people. We forgive ourselves, Lord, for things that might have happened that maybe they weren't our fault. But we're not going to keep going over them, Lord. I pray that every person tonight would make transitions well in the next half of this year. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope you enjoyed that tonight. God loves you. He's not done with you because you're still here. And love people. This is not a perfect world. And forgive people as God forgives us. Maybe next week we'll continue or we'll start something brand new. Amen. God bless you.
We hope you enjoyed this message by Word of Life Church. We just wanted to let you know there's a lot more content on our website at WOLApopka.com. From our YouTube channel, to our podcast, to our SoundCloud, and many more events. We also wanted to let you know that we love giving you these messages. And it helps us too that if you would love to give to the what we're doing, it helps keep all these messages free. You can just simply go to our website and click the big Give Now button. Or you can text 407-955-5345. And remember, our pastor's vision is this: we grow Christians. So we thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.